Could you tell us first about the migrant and refugee communities in Germany? And then we can talk about more about the movements that you're part of and how your strategies and your priorities have developed. When we talk about migrant or refugee communities in Germany, who are we talking about and how many people, when did they come to Germany, how did they come?
Well,
I know it's a big question, but...
It would take me hours to talk about it because this is one of the main issues of our work to, let's say, to overcome what you mentioned when you always say migrant and refugees. Like Germany has, of course, a long history of immigration, but today I think we are dealing with the effects of 50 years of migration regime in Germany beginning in the 50s. Me, for example, I'm the son of guest workers. My parents came in the 60s to just basically to work, and the concept was to work a couple of years and go back. Neither the immigrants nor the government, nobody actually expected people to stay. So only in the 70s people realized that they were not going back and that they were staying. All of the German government tried to reinforce the concept of rotation, like to bring people back and make them not settle in Germany. In 73, that was all over Europe. Lots of governments stopped guest workers programs and tried to bring back the immigrants to their home countries. And what happened was that people stayed and tried to organize forms of immigration that were undermining laws of government to that were trying to prohibit immigration. And that was the beginning of when classical forms of immigration stopped and transformed into refugee immigration. I would say, I mean, this is like why we call all immigrants immigrants, and we don't make so much a separation between refugees and immigrants, is to understand the growth of the rates of refugees in the 80s is not only political situation in their home countries, but also that in Germany, after 1980, I would say, there was no legal gate of entry anymore except asylum. So all people, I mean, whether you can come as a tourist and overstay, so you're sans papier, an illegalized immigrant, you actually don't exist, or you can come as applying for asylum.
Your work focuses on rights for undocumented people. How many people are we talking about?
Well, this is difficult to say because nobody knows. There is no way to know to gain data on people that are undocumented.
You must have some idea, though.
There is some idea between 500,000 and 1,500,000, and population of Germany is 80 million. But our work focuses actually not on the problems and the humanitarian problems of people that have no documents. Actually, our idea is to say that that the fact of being undocumented says a lot more about the situation of all immigrant people and the withdrawal of rights of a lot of people that maybe have even a German passport and are being discriminated in different ways, and the fact of being undocumented and having no rights at all is maybe just the peak of a variety and hierarchy of statuses within the immigrant community. As I already mentioned, the problem is much more in our eyes the division of labor within. Implemented by the government and by state policy, and which is reproduced by the anti-racist immigrant leftist movement. You have people only dealing with the status of asylum seekers being forced not to leave their district, and focusing only a campaign only against this law. And then you have people from say, Turkish origin that only focus on the fact that they are that they all don't have the vote, the right to vote, although they pay taxes and live here for 40 years. Our campaign is trying to overcome this kind of division of labor and to inscribe all kinds of struggles against discrimination at the level of rights into the concept of legalization.
Why don't we talk a little bit about your group itself? First, about the name, what it means.
The first thing to, that you have to know to understand the name is the word Kanak. It became an insult for immigrants in already the 70s. It's a humiliating word, and when we founded the group, we thought we could use this word to and just turn it the other way around. The idea is to attack everything that puts people in situations where they can be humiliated as Kanaks. The idea was actually to attack the Kanakization, if you can say so, of people in Germany.
And when did your group come together?
97. I think this is something that you don't know over there, but after the so-called reunification of Germany, immigrants had to suffer from a lot of attacks, from murders, from killing. I mean, lots of people just died. People were attacked in the streets, in their houses, and actually everywhere. And of course, there was a reaction to from leftist groups, from the immigrants themselves that organized. But at the middle of the 90s, at the end, towards the end of the 90s, the people that actually found Kanak Attack 97, we were kind of unhappy with the situation within the movement. Like if you were in an organization of immigrants, a self organization. That was kind of something that we didn't like, because it was putting you in the cage of identity. You had to be someone. You had to prove that you're an immigrant. The experience that you make as an immigrant in a country is often show me your papers. It's something that is very humiliating, and this is one of the basic experiences of discrimination. People asking you for your identity. And so we wanted to overcome this. Of course, one of the other points was that the self-organized immigrant groups, they were putting themselves into a sort of position of a victim. So that was a self-victimization. People were talking about the Fourth Reich, putting themselves in the situation of the Jews 1933. We rejected that. And on the other hand, you had all the politically correct German guys that were running around to protect refugees wherever they could. And also, you know, when you were coming there to join these groups and to have common action, you would make the experience that they were looking at you like a poor victim that has to be protected. So that was kind of a situation. And of course all the organizations that associations where our parents were organized in, That was a catastrophe, of course, because they were part of that system of multiculturalism. They were kind of integrated into the system of being the nice foreigner, reclaiming their culture and providing dances and good food for a German audience. So we wanted to invent a new kind of anti-racism, overcoming all these problems. And I think we have had pretty much success with that.
Describe for us a bit specifically Kanak Attack today, like your day-to-day organizing.
We have local groups in almost all bigger towns in Germany. I mean, when I say in all bigger towns, that's kind of excluding Eastern Germany, because you have only 1.5% of foreigners' population in the eastern part of Germany. And these local groups, they do, they have their own work in their local situations. People in Cologne, for instance, they invented the idea of Kanak TV, Kanak Television, taking the camera in your hands and using it as a weapon. Yeah, because as you all know, media often use pictures of immigrants in order to construct racist images of immigrants. So the concept of Kanak TV, Kanak Television, is to fight back and to ask the questions that they ask us all the time, like, where do you come from? When will you go back? Do you want to integrate in our society? Like, just taking these questions and asking the Germans back. So the concept of Kanak TV is to empower people to go in the streets and in their own neighborhood and to feel themselves as the owners of their own neighborhood via a camera, if you can say so. This is like just one example. Just to give you an example about what we did in Hamburg, the idea was to have a day to focus on certain places in the town that were important for the everyday life of immigrants. There was a huge building built in the 80s. It was a shopping mall. And construction workers in Germany are 80 or 90% of the construction workers are immigrants from eastern part of Europe, like from Poland, predominantly from Poland. And what these people did, they managed to build the wall with stones. Obviously, they used kind of slightly darker stones in order to write word Poland in a wall that was like, I don't know, 10 meters high and 20 meters long, a huge writing, but not a writing, it's just part of the wall. And they did this, nobody realized it, not the architects, not the owners of the building, and they were just saying, we are here, we are from Poland and we are working for you, and nobody's seeing us, we are invisible, but we are still here and we realize it. So we went there to point at that wall to make visible a part of a migrants, yeah, struggle. You have to name that struggle, even if it's without barricades and demonstrations, because it's kind of a self-empowerment, an act of a self-empowerment, of being aware of your situation. Also today, we're building up a network. This is maybe the most difficult thing that we're doing, because it's the most of the work is talking to people very over a long period of time to convince people to overcome their specific point of view in their struggles. Like we are having a cooperation in Frankfurt with an organization of prostitutes, and of course there is a huge gap. Between this group and a group of Turkish guest workers. At first sight, maybe there is not so many common points, but what we have to do is to bring these groups to one table, to sit together, and to discuss how we can take common action.